Hello, welcome to Locked on Sharks, your home for all things Team Teal. My name is JD Young, one half of the Content Boys. Kyle continues to be abducted by Australians. So we have today the great Sarah Avampato of Locked on Kings to preview today's very early start of Sharks Kings, a game where this game might actually have a lot of stuff that could happen for this game. So that is my professional analysis. Sarah, how is it going?
It's cool. It's feeling pretty good from number two in the division right now.
Yes. So we will get into Sharks Kings here in just a second.
You're Locked on Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So yeah, the Sharks and the Kings play today in a 1 o'clock Pacific time game. So I think the majority of us are going to be at work during this game. We haven't faced, these teams haven't even played each other yet this year, which is kind of weird since we're already basically halfway through the season. So Sarah, why don't you kind of tell us what the Kings season's been about? It's been a season where I think they've better than expectations, except for Kyle, who had them number two, and he predicted they would be number two in the division. But yeah, what has the Kings been about so far this year?
Yeah, so it's really been, it's like on any given night, you don't really know what Kings team you're going to get. They've had a lot of ups, a lot of downs. I think the most important thing is that they have weathered all of this COVID stuff pretty well. They haven't had the same massive absences that other teams have had. They've missed maybe two or three guys at a time at most. And except for the time that Drew Doughty landed on the list, it hasn't really been the key players. It's been a lot more of the role guys. So, you know, that's been working in their favor so far while they're seeing other teams in the division get kind of decimated by COVID. But, you know, this is a year that's been transition for the Kings a lot. And most people put them down at the bottom of the division. I had them as maybe like a wild card spot. So I really appreciate Kyle's faith in the Kings to do something useful. But right now it's paying off. They're on a hot streak right now and seems like things are clicking. So just in time to face our northern enemies here.
Yeah, you know, and it's like the Sharks had their big outbreak, you know, kind of earlier this season, and then where they were basically the Sharkuda for 2 weeks. And then the Sharks have been kind of in the same spot where it's been guys here and there, you know, Barabanov might be coming back for today's game. But, you know, I think there's a lot of parallel too, where it's like, both teams are kind of doing better than expected. What do you think has been the biggest reason for the Kings kind of being better than expected? Is it, I know Quentin Byfield's back. Is it like, what has been that reason?
So I think a lot of it really is the acquisition of Phil Deneau over the offseason in free agency has really strengthened the Kings up the middle. Last season, you know, it was Anji Kopitar and then some dudes. And this year, this year, Phil Deneau has been able to step in as that number two center and has been really good, just, you know, not only to kind of limit Kopitar's minutes a little bit, but also to mean that Kopitar doesn't have to be out there for every defensive zone draw. He's not out there for, you know, every crucial situation, because Deneau has been able to pick up a lot of that. And he's also been scoring too. And we're having some of our like middle to younger players, like Adrian Kempe right now leads the team in goals. It's the breakout season everyone's looked for him. We're having some of our younger guys step up and contribute. And the defense, which I think has always been a little bit iffy for the Kings, we're seeing some younger guys, Sean Durzi for one, step up and start participating and really earning his role on the team. So it's getting contributions from guys who haven't really either made the most of their opportunity before or who are new to the team.
Has Jonathan Quick found a time turner from Harry Potter, or what is going on? I thought he was dead.
I did too.
We were told he was dead.
Yes. Everyone thought he was dead. For some reason, you know, whatever it is, no idea, but he has looked like it's 2012, 2014 Jonathan Quick. I know he had surgery in the off season to address, I think it was a shoulder issue, but that doesn't change a shoulder doesn't change the entire way you play. He looks great. No idea why. Yeah. Time turner, some sort of fountain of youth. Not going to complain. And it's been great because for the Kings, Cal Peterson was sort of expected to take on more starts. And this year he's had a rough season. He's looking a little better. He just got off the COVID list. He won against the Kraken last night, his last two games as well. So he's looking better. But while he was shaky, Quick was really there to pick things up and to help, you know, keep the team in contention. And I think without Jonathan Quick holding it down a little earlier in the season, I don't think the Kings would be where they're at right now.
It's kind of funny where both the Kings and the Sharks are kind of in the same spot where they're, you know, they're expecting young goaltenders with the Sharks, you know, Aiden Hill, and with the Kings, Peterson, to kind of take that next step, right, and be like the guy. And it's been the old guys with James Reimer and Jonathan Quick who've been the better goaltenders both for the season for both of them. Hill has played really well the past, you know, kind of ever since the break. You know, and he just hasn't gotten the run support in front of him. But Reimer should be back for today's game. He was the backup against on Saturday against the Penguins, you know, and then but I would expect Reimer to get the start today. I mean, we are recording this Sunday, but yeah, I would expect the Reimer to get the start today for Monday. You know, but yeah, it should be interesting if we, you know, the old guys are continue to hold it down. You know, especially when you have these younger goaltenders that you're kind of, you know, at least for the Sharks, you know, they're spending a second round pick. And, you know, for the Kings, they've drafted and developed Peterson and kind of expected him to make a big jump, especially after the way he played last year.
Yeah, it's been strange. I'm not going to complain. I love seeing Jonathan Quick looking good and relevant again. And it makes people outside of the Kings world angry and confused, which I also like. And it's just been really fun to watch him play. I guess it looks a little more confident, a little less panicky. You know, he has that Jonathan Quick tendency to just like hurl himself at things. Yes. And we're seeing that less a little bit, which is good, finally.
So another 10-year contract. Let's get going.
Yay.
Bring on 10 more years. You know what doesn't require a 10-year contract?
I don't.
Built Bars. Yeah, I know right now it's a new year. So new year means new year resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure to include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good, you'll want to eat it, while other protein bars taste like chalky or waxy or chemical spills. Built Bars, they're covered in 100% chocolate, so they taste delicious, every one of them. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, 17 grams of protein. So compare it to the candy bars, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. So if they have plenty of flavors like chocolate almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, salted caramel, mint brownie, you know, you can pick out one of those. If you don't know which one your favorite is, go get out one of the boxes where you can choose which ones you want. So make sure you guys check out built.com often to see what's new. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Again, use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Yeah, so I really think this is actually going to be a big kind of measuring stick game for both teams, right? They're both kind of in the thick of the wild card. You know, I know that the Kings are up in the actual playoffs right now, and, you know, with Edmonton free falling and Calgary hasn't been playing as great lately and stuff. So both the teams are kind of in the playoff mix. The Sharks have played really well recently, even though they haven't got the results that they wanted. You know, they were easily the better team against the Penguins and the Rangers, but just right now they're having a finishing problem. Mm-hmm. We've all been there. Sorry, that's terrible.
Someone's got to make up for it with Kyle not.
I know. I have to. So. I know. I got to do both jobs now. So without Kyle here. But what do you think? What do you think has been kind of the weak spot for? I think actually it's going to be a battle of two very weak spots here with the Kings' penalty kill, which has been bad, and the Sharks' power play, which might be worse at the right now. So
oh no.
Yeah, like the Sharks, they've gone back to the Brent Burns, Erik Karlsson power play, which looked good against the Penguins, and the Penguins have a very good penalty kill. But like, I think Shang Peng put out a stat where since December 11th, they've given up 3 shorthanded goals and scored 2 power play goals in that same time. Ooh, so,
no.
In the battle of terribleness, what do you think about the Kings' penalty kill here?
Yeah, this is a game. I think that both teams definitely are going to play at even strength as much as possible. The penalty kill has had moments of looking really good and you're like, oh, maybe they seed to let in like two or three in a game. It's had its moments, the power play as well. It's kind of iffy, but you know, they scored against the Penguins, who, as you guys know, have, I think, the best penalty kill in the league.
They're very good. Yes.
Yeah. And I was in the middle of typing a tweet being like, well, Penguins might as well just keep taking penalties, 'cause this isn't going to do anything. And then they scored. So, you know, they broke through, but yeah, the penalty kill has just, they'll do really well for like a minute of the penalty and then suddenly forget what they're doing. So yeah, I think this, both of us would prefer to not have to see, just no one take penalties. Just, it's not going to work out for either way. No.
Yeah. I mean, the Sharks have been really bad about drawing penalties this year anyway. So this one might work out in that favor, and the Sharks penalty kills is actually been really good. I think they're ranked 10th right now. They were like in the top four at the beginning of the season. They kind of slid a little bit, but I still think that they're really good, especially with like, you know, Nick Bonino, you know, just like Nick Bonino, Hurdle, Couture, kind of, you know, when you can continually throw out one of those guys, they're going to be good defensively. So yeah, I have a feeling the Sharks penalty, even though this is a really good opportunity for the power play, I still have a feeling the Sharks power play is still going to struggle in this game. My dog decides to go out the window. So Dakota making her annual, her daily appearance.
Yes.
What is with the Kings defense, right? So you still have, you know, Drew Doughty, who has been a stalwart back there, but there's been a lot of kind of, I mean, they've been drafting a lot of defensive players. Mm-hmm. So who should the Sharks fans, who should we be on the lookout for on the defensive core?
Sure. So like you mentioned, we have Drew Doughty. Mikey Anderson has been playing with him again. Anderson's been having kind of a rough season. It really seems sort of like the sophomore, you know, growing pains of, okay, no, I really am here. But he's also paired with Drew Doughty, and I feel like anyone learning to play next to Doughty can be a bit of an adventure sometimes. You know, the other guys on the blue
line. The Brent Burns syndrome.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. Yeah, you guys are very familiar with, you know, the way that works of having a defenseman like that and the guy next to him being like, okay, cool. But the one guy I would say to watch out for is Sean Durzi. He's been around the AHL for a couple years, made his NHL debut a little earlier this season, and has looked like a natural there. He had been, you know, watching him from the beginning of his AHL career to now, you had seen sort of the way that he's adapted to the game and really matured as a defenseman. And we're seeing the same thing in the NHL. They do have an open spot all season, essentially, because Sean Walker tore both his ACL and MCL very early in the season. So he's out for the year. And so the Kings had really been kind of waiting to see which young player was going to step up and earn that spot, and it's been Sean Durzi. He's a younger defenseman, very good in terms of quarterbacking a power play, you know, more offensively minded, but doesn't sacrifice defense to get that job done. I love watching him along the blue line in a power play, keeping pucks in, making really smart plays. So he has been a great addition to the Kings defense, and it's one of those things where it's like, well, eventually they're going to have to figure out who goes, because they're going to have more players than spots open, but I'd say he's really the one to watch out for, especially in special team situations.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Sharks have been kind of, I mean, their top four has been pretty solid, you know, or solidified with the Ferraro, Burns, and then Middleton, Carlson. When Middleton's healthy, I still don't think he's going to be back yet from his concussion. So Jacob Megna has been sliding into that mm-hmm. second spot. And then I actually really like the Vlasic-Merkley combo, which is kind mm-hmm. of a weird thing to say, especially with Vlasic, who's been bad, honestly, at times this year, to the point where he got his first healthy scratch of the year. But Merkley, I think that pairing makes sense, right? Where you have a defensive defenseman like Vlasic, who, mm-hmm. even though he's not the same guy, he's still going to kind of be in the same spots and stuff like that. And then Merkley, who can be that transition guy and can kind of provide the offense. And I think with Vlasic, where he can just focus on, if I just play defense and then get the puck to Merkley, he'll right. at least get it out of the zone. So I'm not stuck, you know, because before it was like Vlasic, Šimek, and neither one of those guys could get the puck out of their zone to save their lives. But I really think that bottom pair has kind of solidified themselves, and I want to keep seeing Merkley get a good run. And you know, and we've heard, you know, throughout, since the moment Merkley was drafted, it was like, oh, he can't play defense. I think he's been honestly pretty good about it, and you know, he's not the mm-hmm. biggest guy, but he definitely like tries hard, and he you know, gets in the scrums and does all that dirty work too. So I think the Sharks have a little bit of advantage on the defense.
Yeah, probably. We have a lot of guys who are just guys. And you know, like Olimata exists. He's there.
Yes.
And there's a lot of he almost scored a goal against the Penguins, which would have been amazing. He hasn't scored yet this season. It hit a post. I was so close. But there's a lot of guys who it's like you don't notice them. Usually good, but you know, for a team that has aspirations of being in a solid off spot and not just hoping that no one else catches up with them, you want your, you know, anyone on your team to be a little more noticeable and not just hanging on through the game. So I feel like, yeah, you guys might have a little more players who are difference makers as opposed to the Kings, who have a defense that's mostly just like, let's get to the next shift.
Please tag me in.
Right. Like, where's Dowdy? It's your turn.
Yes. Is it your turn? I'm tired. Sarah, if you wanted to bet on today's game, where could you go?
I think I would fire up my little computer or my little phone and go to betonline.ag.
Yes, BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue their march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website. To sign up today, receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. So the Kings win this game if
The Sharks don't score as many goals as the Kings do.
Good news.
Good news, guys. I think for the Kings, the key really has been, and we've been seeing this a lot in their recent winning streak, is actually being ready from the puck drop. And the games that we've seen where they've gotten outplayed, outclassed by the other team, it's evident from the first the Kings don't have it. There haven't been a lot of games where they've had a lead and then let it go. They're, you know, don't at like, I didn't look up the stats on that. That's just the gut feeling. Yes. But you know, the biggest thing for the Kings is they're going to win if they actually play the whole 60 minutes from the very first minute. And otherwise what we've seen them do is they get frustrated, they get behind, they let the other team start dictating the way that the game goes. And then all of a sudden they're losing like 4-0 because they forgot how to play hockey. So that's really been one of the biggest things that I've seen from them this season, is playing from the very beginning, playing aggressively, being that team that actually does what they say they're going to do of chasing down pucks and being hard to play against and all those stupid hockey cliches that are actually kind of true sometimes.
Yeah, I think the Sharks win if they can actually finish for once. They've gotten, in the past two games, they've gotten 80 combined shots between the Rangers and the Penguins, and they've scored one goal, which seems really bad. So I think if they continue to play the way that they actually have been playing, but they can just find some scoring touch, you know, the Sharks should win, especially, like I said, they're doing all the things right. And like you saw in the Penguins game where they're creating a bunch of chances in the slot, you know, a bunch of high quality chances, and they just can't finish right now. And that's the brutal thing. So I think they have to continue to be positive, continue to do what they're doing, and know that the puck's going to eventually find the net. Who's the player to watch for the Kings today?
I would go with Adrian Kempe, who I mentioned earlier. He's really been having kind of a breakout season. Finally, it seems like he's been around forever, but he's still pretty young. He has been very streaky his whole career until now. He's a player who'll score 4, 5, 6 goals in a row and then go cold for 20 games. But lately he has been playing the right way. He looks like he's having fun out there, which a lot of times he doesn't look like he's enjoying himself, but he's scoring goals. He's getting the opportunity playing with Andrei Kopitar, which Kings fans have kind of been clamoring at him actually just get up there and see what he can do. And he's making the most of it. So he has become much more of a dangerous offensive weapon than we have been seeing from him.
Yeah, I think for the Sharks, I think Timo Meier continues. The dude's just, I mean, we know he's an all-star. He has just been on another level this year. But he looked great against the Penguins, and I think he continues to just destroy people the way he's been doing. So yeah, I think he'll have his little coffee nice and early and come out, and I think he'll play a really good game against the Kings. So Sarah, give me a prediction. Give me a prediction, a score, and who you think scores.
I'm going to go Kings 3-2. It's dangerous because every time I predict them to win, they blow it. But it feels like against the Sharks, I need to predict that they're going to win. Like, I feel like my listeners would be like, really, this is the one? But no, I'm going to go 3-2 for the Kings. Goals from, let's go Drew Doughty, because he hasn't done anything in a while. Let's say that he scores a goal. Adrian Kempe's been looking good. And let's go with, if he's in the lineup, because he was out sick last time, but let's go with Brendan Lemieux, just because I think it would be funny.
If he doesn't bite anybody first.
If he doesn't bite anybody, yeah.
I'm going to go 4-2. I think the Sharks, they finally score some goals. Give me a Noah Gregor goal. The poor guy has, I think he's so snake bit right now. Shark stats had him like 50 plus shots right now without a goal. And the dude's been playing hard, and he's so deserving of a goal. So give me a Noah Gregor goal to finally break the schneid. And I'll take two Timo times, and then Erik Karlsson one, just because. That's
why not.
I always just want to watch Erik Karlsson score goals.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Who doesn't want to watch Erik Karlsson score goals? Well, maybe you, either. But
I mean, I'll watch him score against other teams.
Yeah.
Just not mine.
So just not yours. Sarah, where can the people find you and what you're doing right now?
So I'm on Twitter at Right Said Sarah. If you're looking at the YouTube, it's down there. Locked On Kings is at Locked On LA Kings on your Twitters, of course, available wherever you get your podcasts. And also, you can hear me on Wednesdays with Jess Belmonsto of Locked On Flames as we talk all things Western Conference on Locked On NHL, which is our national NHL podcast show.
And you can, of course, find Locked On Sharks on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, where we post all of our dumb stuff there. You can also listen to wherever you get podcasts, Spotify, Apple, wherever you're listening now. I mean, if you found us that now, you probably can continue to find us in the future. Of course, subscribe to us on YouTube. We are at over 530 subscribers. The march to 1,000 continues. So Kyle and I can get that sweet, sweet cheddar from YouTube. Find me on Twitter at my fry hole. Kyle is at Kyle Demetrius. And we'll be back tomorrow with a breakdown of this very early afternoon game. Sarah, you've done it all. Thank you so much.
Heck yeah.
Bye, friends.